Hello, everyone. Guess what? It's episode 23 of Utopia to Me with your host, me, Chris Locke. And yeah, this is a couple days late. I'm getting this one out there. But I got to tell you, man, I'm getting sick of this Toronto winter. It's kind of sunny now. It's nice. But man, I've been wearing long johns for a long time. So I've been sluggish lately, walking around the house by myself, talking to my cats. And, you know, being like, what are you looking at? You know, you want to go out? You don't want to go out. And, you know, and, you know, just hanging around like that, wearing slippers. And my slippers are starting to, I just don't want to start this one off by complaining. But listen to me. Cabin fever, man. This is, if you listen to this one in the summer or sometime, or if you live in this, and if you listen to this in a hot place, you always listen to my podcast, Utopia to Me, in a hot place. Then fine. That's great. You don't know what I'm talking about. You're wearing shorts right now. Popsicles are dripping on your bare chest. Whether you're a man or a woman, right now, if you're listening to this in a hot place, popsicles are dripping on your bare chest. You're crazy. That's kind of cool, though, that you don't care. But anyways, this, what you're hearing is me feeling like I'm trapped in basically an igloo in this snowy, cold Toronto weather. But being as that is out of my system now, guess what? It is an awesome, super fun episode that I'm glad to sit back and listen to again. And I hope you guys are listening to this with popsicles no matter where you are on the planet. And it's Kurt Furla is my guest. And he is, we've collaborated together on some stuff and we make each other laugh very much. And he's a very funny guy. But he's also a well-known graphic designer. He's basically created a style of posters for comedy shows and other kind of stuff like that in the city that is not only everybody goes to him because he's so talented, but people are, you can see people imitating his style. So he's an originator of a style of poster. He's a writer for cartoons, creator of cartoons, creator of art, as well as being a comedian and many other things. And he's just super funny. So we had a great time. He came and sat on my couch after we ate, well, you'll hear all about it. We ate an Indian roti each, Indian roti apiece. Shout out to Roti Cuisine of India on DuPont. I bet you they'll never know and they'll never sponsor me. But let's just make a wish foundation once that they do. But yeah, so we were a little logged out, roti styles, full of rotes. And then drank some wine and some green tea, and we had a great time. So I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this hilarious and interesting and fun man, episode 23, Kurt Furla. Sit back, take your long johns off, and enjoy.
I do that later. So, yeah, usually when I go to the bathroom...
tell me more.
I black out, and then I wake up, and my nose is bleeding.
You're doing
is
it.
Is that bad?
You're doing it the proper way, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I read a lot about bathroom rules.
Oh, yeah. You've read a ton of books about going to the bathroom.
There are many, and I've gone through them all.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it properly, you should be unconscious for at least 20 to 30 minutes.
Who's your favorite author
and
of...
your wallet will be missing after also. That part, I don't know how that happens, but...
Yeah.
There's another, yeah, usually some sort of demon is involved.
Proper bathroom etiquette is bring a demon into the bathroom with you.
Yes.
Or at least a burglar that says he's a demon.
He burgles your bowels. He takes he takes everything out and then takes your wallet, though. So it's kind of, you feel good inside, but then you feel sad because you're poor.
Give me everything in your butt.
Yeah.
And your wallet while we're at it.
Exactly.
It's like an afterthought.
Exactly.
The money is the afterthought. The refuse is the main gold.
Well, yeah. He has an important role in society. If you
bathroom demon?
Yeah. The butt burglar also. He's
a lot of people don't know this, but bathroom demon is more important than Santa Claus.
Yes. He has yet to have a holiday, yeah. You know, surrounding him, but
yeah.
Give it time.
Well...
here we are.
What did you think? Did you have fun on the podcast today?
It was my favorite 2 minutes of my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice...
and smell.
...that you hear...
if you can smell me also.
If you can scratch and sniff this podcast, you will smell the damp jeans of Kurt Furla.
Yeah, they are damp.
Not even walking around in the snow in those jeans.
It has nothing to do with the snow. I purposely have wet jeans on.
Yeah.
It's the Levi's wet jean. It's the new thing they're trying.
Pre-loved.
There was acid wash kind of was popular for a bit. Yeah. Now they're trying just always damp, it's called. And it's, I don't know how they do it.
It's always good. Damp in Philadelphia.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Levi's.
So you always feel like just a little uncomfortable. It's for those times where you have lots to do in life. So you're like, you just want to keep moving. And you know, damp jeans you don't want to sit in.
You know what drives me nuts in movies? Oh, my God.
What are you looking for?
I lost my beat sheet for the podcast.
Oh, no.
Remember I told you I was all organized now?
You did research on me.
Anyways, I will do... Oh, fine. Listen, the thing that bugs me about movies is characters always walk into the ocean with their clothes on.
That's true.
It's like, get out of here.
That does not
You're
happen.
Driving me nuts.
And then, or they make love on the beach as the waves, you know...
Ruin their clothes.
Totally. And take all, and their cell phones are totally wrecked.
Yeah.
That's the part.
Keys, wallet,
that's
cash.
The part of those movies they always edit out is after they make love on the beach, they both reach in their pockets and go, oh, my iPhone is totally screwed up now.
Yeah.
Have to buy a new one. And then the next hour of the movie is them going, buying new technology.
Classic, so they can... yeah. Classic deleted scene from Here to Eternity. Burt Lancaster goes, oh, damn it. My Rolodex, because it was the
back in
50s,
the day, yeah. It was a very different time.
My Rolodex full of other chicks' numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. I usually don't start off riffing with this many jokes,
Riff-raff.
But it's so much fun.
But my name is Riff-raff.
Yeah. So. Guys, your guest today is Riff-raff.
That's a real guy.
I know.
How is that a real person?
Well,
go back to name school.
Anything
kid.
Can happen these days.
Yeah.
Go back to name school. Sounds like he graduated with high honors. Riff Raff, you did it again. That's Kurt Furla. I'll say it again.
Thank you for having
me. The reason why we are having so much fun already.
We're full of rotis, right?
We're full of roti, Indian roti. So most people that listen to this show, you hear me talk about this roti cuisine of India place all the time on DuPont. Well, guess what? Today. For episode 23,
they're the sponsor of the episode. Also,
I think they are. Me and Kurt Furla went there first, and now we're here. And he's doing the podcast. So this is,
and we brought the chefs with us.
So if it seems a little unprofessional and giddy, yeah, and then you can hear chefs breathing in the background. It's because this is post Indian roti, Chris and Kurt. So we are jolly. We're buzzed from that food. I'd say
pretty much.
But Kurt. Before we get into it, let me go nuts about some of your damn creds, because you've been involved in comedy and the creative arts in Toronto/Canada for over a decade.
Yeah.
You started as a stand-up. You did sketch with your brother Brandon, the Romoli brothers.
Mm-hmm. And Riff Raff.
And Riff Raff. You are Riff Raff too now, which is like, how do you keep all those?
How do I do all these?
Yeah, but then you're basically for a long time, you're the one and only graphic designer with an original voice here in Toronto. You still probably are the leader in that. You do, so you get a lot of work, graphic design, you write cartoons. Me and you are good at riffing together because we've written scripts together that have gone nowhere, but we've riffed and raffed.
Yeah.
But they're fun. Times.
Oh, yeah.
They've gone nowhere because we're both
busy jackasses.
Yeah.
Who just, it's hard to finish something when there's 50 things over there.
But so Kurt has a million things going on, and that is why I'm very excited that he's the guest today, because he's multi-talented and multi-funny.
Meaning
and
three talents, right?
Multi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that means three.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's multi-talented. He can do three things.
Three things only. Yeah. One of them is chewing gum. People always say that, you know, I can walk and chew gum. That, like, for me, chewing gum is one of the talents. So.
Well, like last year,
I do
like,
it like no one else.
This is my impression of you. You're like, I'm just going to focus on graphic design because
that sounds nothing like me.
That's the most work that's coming in. The next time I talk to you, you're like, oh, guess what? I'm directing cartoons now.
Yeah.
So whatever you do. Yeah.
I let go of the steering wheel of my life. So if someone gives me a weird opportunity, I just go, yeah, I can do that, I guess.
Yeah.
I speak first and then figure it out later. Say, yeah. Say yes first is my, I think, the way I live. Which
say
is
yes to the dress.
Yeah. Which is maybe it's good and bad. But it does mean every 2 months I have a different career in a weird way. So, yeah, I never know what a year is going to look like.
Tina Fey has a new quote about, like, maybe it's from her book, about saying yes first to the opportunity.
So oh, then, yeah?
Because right. Diving in and, you know, getting it done is
figure
more important
it,
than,
yeah.
Like, worrying if you're ready or not. But I also feel like that's sort of a cliche of, like, a person that's constantly building and growing and making themselves better anyways. I think that's already a thing.
Sure.
And you're just one of those guys naturally.
It's, you know what?
You say yes to the dress before even seeing the dress.
I'm wearing so many dresses every day. You know what it is? It's a confidence, or no, it's not a confidence. It's not being afraid to fail.
Yeah.
So even if something, it's always fun to be like, someone goes, hey, can you write a score for this thing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I play a little piano, so sure. And then, but then in my head, I'm like, well, it might be terrible, but who cares? If it is terrible, at least you went for it. You tried it. And you can now confidently say, I'm terrible at writing scores.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then you can actually know.
So you're still confident in a weird way.
Exactly. I mean,
now ask me, can I write a score for this movie?
Hey, Chris, I just finished a film. Can you score it?
No.
Oh.
For sure, I know I can't.
Why?
I just know.
See?
That's the wrong way to do
it,
right?
That's the wrong way to live life.
I just know.
It's better. But if someone said, you know.
Yeah.
Can you be the head of our basketball team?
No.
I know I would be the worst of that, but I also know it would be really funny for people to watch. So
oh,
I might say yes for the wrong reason.
So you find the positive.
I might be like,
in all.
I'd be like, I think I should say no, but there'd be a lot of comedy in this. The audience would think for a moment that this is really funny. And then it would be, I'd be on the bench within 30 seconds.
Yeah, so they're like, can you be the captain of our basketball team? And you're like, well, you know what? The audience might find that really funny, so yes. And then they're like, don't worry about it.
Part of the problem is also I'm referring to a sports crowd as an audience, because I think it's more of a...
Yeah.
An audience sounds like a performance from the start, doesn't it? I think it's what do you call people who watch a game? It's a crowd, right? Or is it? Does it matter?
Yeah, it's a crowd.
Because an audience is more for performance only, I think. So I think that shows how little I know about.
Let me just try and channel my inner athlete.
All right.
Good crowd in the bleachers today. Yeah, that's right.
do audience now?
Hey, you guys are good. Crowd. Oh my god.
No, but if you said good audience in the bleachers, it doesn't sound right.
Do you like the game, audience?
See, audience doesn't work. But it does. Yeah. Maybe my words are just...
What is it? Write into at Utopia to me and tell us.
Please.
Is it audience or is it an audience or a crowd at the game?
Call my cell phone now. You can call into the show.
Yeah.
555
flower.
Yep.
So you've listened to a few of these episodes.
I listened to them in reverse, though, like literally backwards.
Oh, just
that's the way I live life.
That's why you're a maverick at basketball.
That's why I walk in reverse also.
Yeah.
Everything
about you is unique.
I've listened to four episodes, I believe.
Yeah. And you didn't care for them at all.
I hated every second.
Yeah.
And I wept for hours, and then I put another one on. I don't know why.
So are you excited to do this?
I'm very excited to be here. I actually love it. It's a comforting podcast to hear about people's paradise.
Well, you have a comforting voice, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A lot of people come and rest on my mouth.
Yeah, I can see
so
that.
Comforting.
There's an age limit to that.
There is. Thank God.
Sometimes people are younger than 18 want to rest on your mouth, and you're like, I don't think you have to ask your parents.
Mm.
Yeah.
I need a note from your parents.
If you get a note from your parents, fine. <Yeah. laughs> Like, it's not that crazy. It's such just a weird.
This is definitely an odd conversation, but
yeah.
Hey, that's fine.
Hey, this is an odd
This
podcast.
Is roti talk. This is the roti talking.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Welcome
yeah,
back
officer,
to
the roti did it.
Welcome
me.
Back to roti talk.
Roti. Oh, we're also drinking a nice red wine called Gerard Bertrand, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah. Who was Gerard?
Who was Gerard?
Yeah.
Starring John Candy. Okay, so.
Yes.
Now that you admit openly that you do know the premise of this podcast.
Yeah.
Let's dive right into it. Everybody's super excited that you're on the show. They got, they somehow.
They put on their best dress and tux.
Yeah, they said yes to the tux.
They're looking at the radio right now, listening. Like in the 30s.
God, I wish this was on the radio. But like an old radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like
where the family gathers around.
You know what? When you get the little widget that plays the radio on your laptop, it's not the same.
No.
You want an old wooden radio with like bulbs and tubes in it.
Absolutely.
And can you hear me? Can you hear me out there? Yeah.
I just love that the family would stare at the radio.
Yeah.
Where there's nothing visual to, take in. I just find that there's something just amazing about that.
Yeah, and then they'd look at each other after the show and go, what do you think George Burns looks like? What do you think Gracie looks like?
I think there was a window.
And they'd fight.
All those photos, what we don't see in the pictures, there's a window just above the radio that they were all staring through. Watching the domestic troubles of their neighbors.
Yeah.
And they're staring at that, like, in shock.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, this is when War of the Worlds was broadcast. Look at the fear on their face. But it's actually a family watching a terrible argument by their neighbors.
Yeah.
I think that might be partially true.
Norman Rockwell painted that.
That's right.
Or, like, that was on the other end of his brush.
Yes.
On the brush without the bristles. That end.
Exactly.
So, have you thought about, like, you, well...
Utopia?
Yeah. Should I not say much about what I know about you first? Because I know that you are one with the environment.
Oh, yeah.
You're a tree hugger.
I love the trees.
Let's talk about the environment of your perfect utopian world to begin with. Because it's all up to you. It could be anything you like. The world is yours literally for the next 45 minutes.
Well, okay. Have you ever walked into a scenario in life?
Yes.
In nature where you went,
okay.
Where you're like, where you see a location somewhere and you go, man, if I could just put a bed down here and just stay here.
Yeah.
Because it's just perfect.
And not get arrested.
Exactly. Find a nice lady and a bed right here. Man.
Around all these changing ladies.
Exactly.
Okay. Sorry. Go on.
No, but I grew up out in out west.
Yeah.
Near the mountains. So I spent a lot of time in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Walking through the forests of the mountains. Occasionally you'd find, you have this bubbling stream and this beautiful kind of like so many trees, so many plants, everything.
Yeah.
And I honestly would just, and it's just so peaceful and quiet. And you go, yeah, if somehow the world collapsed and I had to live right there, if there was, no way to get back home and I had to eat berries for the rest of my life, there's something so comforting about that environment of, and I was always obsessed with, like the Robinson Crusoe kind of idea of starting from scratch, building forts. My brothers and I used to build forts and even in Calgary, there was this little wooded area near our school. We'd go and try building crappy little forts there.
Were you guys downtown Calgary?
No, it was the suburbs, but still it was weird that there was
a wooded area.
There was actually this weird, and it wasn't very big. It was just these brambly, but quite tall, trees.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this comfort of living in nature with nothing other than sticks to you know, you have to build your own thing. There's something like very appealing about that to me. So I don't know what that is. But that's why, yeah, occasionally I've seen, you know, I've seen it in Mexico also on, I did a hike there once and it was like, you see spots and you go, man, I would happily, maybe not happily after, after a year of it, but for the moment you're like going, that would be amazing to actually just live completely off of the, you know, just live in a surrounding that is so beautiful, like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be good, but that's, yeah.
How much fortification would you have to, like, protect you?
Very little.
Like, are we talking about, like, a sleeping bag?
It would have, that's the whole problem with my plan. My plan is, it was very much, it's like, oh, I'll just sleep in this mossy area here, but I would probably die within 2 days because of, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would take a lot of... a lot of planning to actually do that properly, and it wouldn't work out. It
would but be, say for your own sake of a utopian world, it's already there.
Sure, it's there.
Would you like a log cabin or a sort of, you know, like what kind of actual house would you want in this environment? And before we get there, can I ask you a quick question that I always thought about with Calgary, but I've never brought it up because it's such a childish thought. But, you know, I grew up here in Toronto by the Great Lakes, which connects to the St. Lawrence and all that stuff.
Right, right.
So I've always sort of felt connected with... But anyways, I always wondered, in Calgary, do you ever, like, growing up, were you like, I'm in the middle, like, I'm so far from the oceans. Do you ever find, like, a...
Like a panic?
Ever, yeah, like you're claustrophobic middle in the of middle night? Of the country.
Oh,
I weirdly have had that wonder.
No,
I swear.
And you know why? I just feel, I think it's because, well, I guess if you don't grow up around water, you just don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
You guys have the two rivers.
Sure.
But
yeah.
It's not like,
yeah, it's
a
not
huge body of
nearby.
Water.
I didn't have much water in my life. I didn't even drink water until I was 12.
Yeah. But what'd you think? Blew your mind,
it
right?
It was crazy, man. My body worked so much better.
That's when you started coming back to life, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I started going to the bathroom for the first time, and I was like, I've been missing out. This is what everyone's talking about. The number one. Number ones are fun.
Yeah.
No, I...
Anyways, for some reason,
not,
that's...
Yeah, not growing up
that.
Near oceans. Like, I see the ocean now, and I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely more of a mountain person.
Oh, yeah.
Because I grew up with it.
Right.
So, yeah.
I always forget about mountain people.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing. And Ontario...
So are you sort of thinking like, would you have a... Oh, sorry. You're going to say about
just
Ontario?
Ontario is lacking in the mountain area.
Oh, tell me about it. So, I went skiing at Blue Mountain recently. I did.
That's not called skiing, though.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know if it's... I don't know if that's considered
no,
a ski.
No, I totally agree with you. Yeah. I've been skiing out west a lot.
It's a different thing.
Yeah. This is like, yeah, it's like tobogganing with skis. But so would you want like a nature mountainscape?
Well, I think
trees,
if I was
bubbling
go,
brooks.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. So here's the thing. I feel I've already experienced the whole cabin in the woods thing. So I think I'd need to go all the way and do Hobbit Hole.
How long did you do cabin in the woods? What are you talking about?
Well, my parents have a cottage in the mountains in BC.
Like a log cabin?
No, it's more modernistic, but I've also been in friends' log cabins before and stuff. So I know what that world is, and I do love it.
But you want to be more like,
but I feel
high
like,
nature, I'm actually in you.
And in utopian world, even you would have hundreds of forest creatures who would come to you and just hang out.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all friendly.
Like Snow White.
Exactly.
You want to be Snow White?
I want to be Snow White.
Are there dwarves that take care of you?
Absolutely.
Dopey? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Trust him?
Oh, he's... Yeah.
Name all the dwarves.
I can because I'm an animation nerd.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Oh, I probably won't be able to know.
Seven of them.
Okay.
Like Dopey.
Grumpy. Bashful. Dopey. Doc. Most people forget him.
Mm-hmm.
Happy, Snappy,
nope,
and Tito.
I think one is Sneezy, right?
Sneezy.
So we're missing one.
Loser? No.
Squirrely? Sal.
Deborah. Randy.
Happy, dopey, grumpy. Did we say grumpy?
Yeah. Sleepy?
Bashful, sleepy, sneezy. F7.
Herpy. No.
Herbie.
Herbie. Was that? Yeah.
I think that was seven.
Is sleepy one of them?
Yeah, sure.
That's crazy. I thought I would nail that.
You want me to look?
No,
we don't have time.
Siri. Let's ask Siri.
Siri. She's like, come on, guys.
Siri's following me on Twitter now. Is that weird? Like, for real?
Voice
of Siri.
Yeah, that's weird.
Isn't that weird?
What are the tweets like? Like, I don't understand.
Exactly.
The tweets are like, can you say that again? Okay, so you're basically like Snow White, but really there's no dwarves hanging around.
No dwarves. Well, that's the thing, though.
There's no dwarves on the planet.
I wouldn't be myself either. I'd need to be... There have to be people.
Oh, really?
I feel...
So how many people on this planet in total? Because it doesn't have to be... You're not finding your utopian world in Earth. You can make it like...
right.
You know what I'm saying?
It could be anything. How many people?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. How many people do you think would be good for the planet?
I think... Oh, for the whole thing?
Well, your planet, yeah.
Well, I feel it wouldn't have to be that many. Just have to be good people.
Okay.
Imagine being at a really good party...
10 dudes.
Like, 50, say 50 people.
Yeah.
A really good, decent big party. You can have a dance party with 50 people.
Yeah.
And they're all just like solid, awesome people.
But you'd really get to know each other very well.
Exactly. And you all sleep
you like
together
that?
Every night.
Like a community.
Exactly. There's something great about getting to know. You know, select people very, very well and becoming basically family with them.
Yeah. So you're almost
like...
So it
could be like that.
You're leaning towards commune almost.
That's what
like
I'm
a very
for.
Back to nature commune.
Maybe.
Right.
It's possible. I haven't thought about this question enough to even... I just know...
Well, I'm helping
when you. Said, exactly. And when you said utopia, I just really felt... There's only a few times I've ever like looked at a, you know, been in an environment where I went... Oh, yeah. Like, if you could just somehow live in this space, it would be incredible. And just feel that perfect peace, you know, as soon as you see it. And it's always been in a very natural, almost rainforesty setting that I felt that peace.
So Mexico.
Mexico.
Like, the hike in Mexico really stuck with
me. Yeah, there's parts of Mexico that have that vibe. But, yeah, like, even, like I said, the mountains in BC.
Do they have rainforesty styles?
They've got some thick forests.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
In BC.
In BC, yeah.
I've been around some nice areas in BC, for sure.
And there are, you got
I don't
rivers.
Know Alberta
and got,
that well. That's what I was thinking. But
BC has definitely more scenic.
But you guys did grow up in Alberta, right?
Yeah. The Calgar. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we do. Like, yeah, put you in that spot. So you're living in a hole in the ground, and animals come up and lick your hands as you sleep.
Oh, yeah.
No, but really, you're in, like, a nice wooded area.
Sure. That'd be nice.
There's basically, like, it's a nature planet with a commune of about 50 cool people.
Perhaps.
I like that. But now that's the thing.
But then you go, like, well, what do you eat, though? You got to think about the details.
You're telling me. That's the theme of my thing.
So that, but if it's a utopian thing, can any magic can happen, right? Or can it?
Yeah, I don't care. Right. No, honestly, I'd like to like hear what you would like it to be like. So
well,
yeah. People have said so much different crazy stuff.
Well, I know also the weather would always be warm, like it would just be the right thing. It wouldn't get. Yeah, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
What if snow was warm instead of cold?
Yeah.
So melting wasn't really an idea.
Yeah.
So imagine going outside right now and you just dive into a warm pile of stuff. How amazing would that be?
It's hard. That's hard for me to think of right now because I'm hardwired to think
of it
as cold. Yeah.
Your mind is leaking out of your head right now.
Yeah.
I think that would be part of my utopia. So it'd be like, you ever been like a...
Warm snow to jump in.
Well,
like,
it's not
a swimming pool.
You know what's always weird? You know when it's a sunny day and it's somehow snowing or raining at the same time?
Yeah.
Like, where there's weird, you're like, there's clouds there, but it's also sunny. and somehow the two are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, the weather's broken right now. Like that doesn't, this shouldn't be happening. It'd be that kind of scenario where you'd be like, oh yeah, it's snowing, but it's actually warming me up somehow.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. So
weird.
That'd be part. And it's
so
like,
you
it's
like snow that much that you want it to be around.
Well, snow,
but you don't want it to be
I
cold.
I prefer snow to rain. And I've experienced warm rain. So I'm saying in Utopia, you'd get warm snow.
Warm snow.
And then you'd have piles of warm snow. So if you were chilly a bit, you could just grab a handful of warm snow.
Yeah.
And slather it all over your body.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Have a warm
Instead
snow
of putting
ball, right?
a shirt on.
Exactly.
You put warm snow on.
Yeah.
Well, when it's really, really cold in the winter, it doesn't snow. And then, weirdly enough, when it does snow, it's a sign of it warming up, right? It gets to around zero to snow, right?
That's weird.
Yeah, man.
I don't like that rule.
Well, you already changed it, so.
Let's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to call someone about that.
It can snow anytime and it's warm. And if you're cold, put warm snow on.
Put warm snow on. Yeah. Go get another layer of warm snow.
So does this commune that you have like a sort of functioning village in the mountains?
Yeah, there'd be a meeting place.
You know?
Yeah. That's the thing. I feel.
Do you guys have relationships?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like monotonous? Or are you guys a little
monotonous?
Crazy? I mean, monogamous. See there, that's
the most
Freudian.
Boring, boring relationship.
I'm in a monogamous relationship, and I just want people to know I don't find it monotonous.
That's right.
But maybe my subconscious is playing tricks. My subconscious, a.k.a. the devil.
Yeah, the demon from the bathroom.
It's monotonous. Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, what are you guys doing? Are you having sex?
Definitely, there is a little bit of the sex happening with everybody all at the same time.
Oh.
And it's really just too much for everyone to handle.
So you're
going
to have
to weirded out.
In my utopia, I'm going to have a talk with these guys.
So and then funny. We awkwardly leave the situation.
That's so funny that someone's utopia would be, hey guys, time to have an intervention.
Yeah. This is
like
this
have
isn't
a meeting.
Working. This looked good on paper for a second, but it's clearly not working.
So you guys have already established
oh yeah, it would
that.
It would be a wonderful, loving group of people. And yes,
but
there would be couples and who knows, marriage, I guess, if you want it. It'd be very much like our regular life.
Right.
Minus.
If something works out.
Minus the city element.
Like Tinder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tinder in the woods. Tinder sticks.
Wait, are you single right now?
I am.
Are you doing Tinder?
Late? No, I'm not.
I could never see you doing that.
Oh, my God. That's the weirdest thing to me.
But everybody's doing it.
I think so.
Everybody's doing it so much that it's totally normal. So you still don't think it's normal?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm happy to have experienced, you know, the dating world before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels, I'm one of those people who needs to sit down with someone for an amount of time before I am sold on them. I can't just look at a photo and be like going, that's who I want to sleep with.
Yeah, but doesn't the photo sort of mean like, that's who I want to sit down and see?
Well,
if I
the way,
like,
from what I've heard, Tinder is very much a hookup thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know because I've never tried it out. But I've heard this from many people.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely just more, yeah, I like to know people first.
Yeah.
I just bored you.
No, that's the Indian roti killing me. Are you still alive after that?
Part of me is.
Like, we guys listening, I'm sorry
the
if this
is working.
A somewhat slower episode right now, but we each got a whole one and ate the whole thing, plus pakoras.
Do I talk slowly, by the way?
You talk slowly, but I'm also.
I think you talk slowly, too.
I talk. When I listen to this, I can't believe that people would listen to this.
Right. Because I've been told.
My voice sounds like I just woke up from a nap.
Because I get told a lot that I have a drawl or a. Because Alberta has a. I think Alberta is a slower thing.
You are a slow talker.
Which is funny to me because you can't tell. Like, unless you're told that, you don't notice it.
I know.
And then, so that's what every now and then I ask people, I'm like, do you think I talk slow? And a lot of people are like, yeah, totally do.
If people are listening to this podcast on their Walkman,
speed it up.
They will think that their batteries are running out.
If you can, in post, you had to throw it in a sound program and speed it up to twice as fast and it will sound totally normal.
Oh my God. Do you do Tinder? No, I don't think I'm ever going to do Tinder.
It'll be comfortable to your ears to listen to. If you put it double speed.
And if you're listening to this by the fireplace on a nice Saturday night, candles
we
lit.
We will talk you through a night you won't
nice
forget.
Bottle of Gerard Bertrand.
And you're sitting
Sauvignon.
With, you're actually sitting with the real Gerard Bertrand.
Hello.
Hello.
I brought Indian rotis in my knapsack.
Let's see how low we can make our voices. What's the lowest you can go?
My perfect utopian world would be just the biggest donut mountain that I can climb and eat.
What are you talking about?
You know it's a fun game, actually?
I am your lord. I am your lord. I'm the lord.
That's pretty good.
Hello, I'm the lord, and I'm also good at football.
This is insane.
I'm glad that this podcast is falling apart because sometimes you need to switch it up.
Exactly.
The last few podcasts were totally awesome, but we were straight up dealing with the thing the whole time.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't mind hanging out. I hope other people like listening.
Yeah.
We've established some things. You're in your village.
Yeah, yeah. You know what else?
50 people. Very cool.
What if,
dating is like how it is here. You take your time. You get to know the person.
Sure. There'd have to be like... My favorite bands would have to be there too, or they'd have to come.
They're on top of the 50 people.
They would have to. No, they'd have to come.
They come
and
from
tour.
Another planet.
They'd come and tour every now and then.
Is it from another planet?
No, I think we're still on Earth here.
Yeah,
I think because as soon as you go to another planet, there's a whole new rules to everything, right?
Yeah,
and that's too much to fit into a podcast.
Yeah,
so I think we're on Earth, but yeah, like. I wouldn't want to cut myself off with every part of, you know, our modern world completely.
So, okay, yeah, list the bands.
You get some good bands. No, I won't.
Here's Kurt's favorite bands, guys.
Yeah. I came in here.
I could list them for you.
Oh, you probably can. Sure.
I will tell you.
I'll tell you.
You say
right
yeah or nay, but sure. I already know.
Yeah.
Radiohead.
Sure.
Blur.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Blur.
Blur and Danforth. Yeah. Blur?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Radiohead, Blur, that's true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bjork?
Yeah.
Who else we got? Shit.
Shit is pretty good.
No.
Oh.
Pulp?
They're not my favorite, but yeah.
Oh, I know you like them.
It's the British scene.
Animal Collective?
Yeah.
Panda Bear?
Pansy?
Panzerotti? And I'm missing... No, Beck?
Yeah.
See,
that's good.
We've talked about music for a long time.
Hell yeah!
You like all the
hell
greats.
Yes.
Who? You like all?
I think the New York scene. I like the New York scene.
The New York scene.
Yeah,
Strokes.
Like, yeah.
The Dead Boys.
The Dead Boys are the best.
You don't even know who that is,
do
you?
I have no clue, but I'll go along with it.
You're talking to a real music nerd right now.
I bet.
Because they were they're definitely the New York scene. 1977.
Yeah.
Sometimes I told you actually. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking one time about all those bands that blew you away, and then I was like, oh my god, they're just doing this stuff from the 70s, and you're like, really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Exactly.
See, that's the kind of shit I go crazy about.
Yeah, I get it.
But anyways, this is your utopian world.
Sure.
You don't need to have a music snob rain on your parade.
I like music so much though that I feel somehow in the utopia there would always just be music like playing maybe out of the trees or something.
That's good, like speakers in the trees.
Yeah. Like for real, I had a dream home back when I was a teenager. I was already figuring out, yeah, what would my dream house be like?
Yeah.
And it looked very Tim Burton-esque, because I really dig his visual style.
What about now?
Still like his visuals, but yeah. Like I just like the like a house in his design, you know, the doors would all look crooked. They'd all operate totally fine, but mm-hmm. everything would feel just slightly off kilter. Mm-hmm. The knobs would have faces, you know, it'd have a very cartoonish kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But part of it was, yeah, every room would have, you know, music. You could always have like little speakers in every room. So you could always just be surrounded with music. There'd be a hot tub river going through your house. So you could, if you didn't want to walk around your house, you could just drift from room to room. Stuff like that.
But now that you're older, you know that that hot tub river would really be just snow.
Exactly.
Warm snow drift.
Exactly. Yeah. Coming from the glacier. The
you
hot,
thought that
the
out when you
glacier.
Were younger? The hot tub river?
I did.
That's pretty good.
And a,
but that's what hot springs are like, right?
Yeah. Have you been in one?
No, I
They're
really
great.
Want to.
Radium Hot Springs in BC. I've been to many times. Beautiful
yeah.
experience. It's just...
So
to think it's natural, you're like, that's nuts. That's absolutely yeah. insanity. That and you're in the cold mountains
yeah.
with hot water coming, you know, out of the earth. That's
amazing. Who'd you go to the hot springs with?
A lot of babes.
I pictured like a lot of babes there.
Of babes.
And then you just showed up and you're like, wow, this is amazing. Hey,
and
guys.
There's people passing Bud Lights around.
Yeah.
And I was like 11. I was like, this is what life is all about.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it would be very, back in the day, it was the parents
yeah.
and family and whoever.
I would really like to try that out. Okay. So do you think that this old school house,
oh my God, that would be part of Utopia then is the bubbling brook would be, yeah, it'd be a hot spring.
Sweet.
Love
well,
it.
You can have both,
I guess.
You can have hot and cold.
Yeah.
It'll be like a liquid tap running through your a village at all times.
I'm pouring some more Girard.
Yeah, do it.
Do you want a top up?
Yes, please. Here, let me just do this.
This is an advertisement for Girard Bertrand, everyone.
Buy Hello, everyone. You're listening to Utopia to Me with Chris Locke, sponsored by Girard Bertrand Cabernet Sauvignon and Roti Cuisine of India on DuPont in Toronto, Ontario.
Both.
I love Indian food, but after I eat it, I sound like Krusty the Clown. I'm always like,
it really puts your body into a
state of shock.
Yeah, like it's not sure whether it wants to live anymore.
It literally just makes two men lay on a couch dreaming of hot springs. Like, and then I would just take my pants off and float away.
Yeah. Your body's ready to just die.
Yeah.
It's not sure how to continue in any reasonable sense, so.
Yeah. They're like, what would you like, sir? And we're like, I'll have the roadie that kills you. And they're like, that's everyone. You have to be more specific.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's too much.
Well, this is, you know, right now you've kind of got a beautiful Canadian wilderness for the most part, but you said kind of rainforest temperature-y,
yeah.
Also lush vegetation like a rainforest.
Sure.
50 people, including your favorite bands that come around and play all the time.
They tour, yeah.
It's like a commune. We've got the hot springs running through the village.
Yeah.
And in my personal opinion, I'm adding a cold one just in case someone...
Sure.
Or not a cold one, but a regular temperature.
Otherwise, we're drinking hot water all the time, which would be a problem.
You could have a clear spring, too, like where all those bottled water say they get their
That's
shit from.
True.
Which they're lying.
Yes, I know, yeah. It's tap and toilet water and then with a sticker on the bottle. Jerks.
I feel like you've probably read an article that said that for sure.
Definitely the tap thing is true.
Tap water?
I forget what company. Major company.
Let me get back to you on the toilet water.
Exactly. Got to read a few more articles. There's a lot of bull crap.
Yeah, we're suckers, man. Blah, blah, blah.
People just like the idea quite often of that it's, you know, you can sell anything to anyone if you put the right sticker on it.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do today. Utopia to Me, episode right. 23.
Utopia to Me?
Utopia to Me. And actually, I didn't say this at the beginning, but my wife, Kathleen, painted the portrait of me in the Hawaiian shirt looking.
That's right.
And Kurt... You put the words on for me.
I did the wordables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was good fun.
Thanks. And well, you also did the words for my album, too, and it really popped, and it really, I love
Kathleen
it.
Kathleen and I are a modern art combo.
That I broker the...
Exactly. You brokered the deal.
Yeah.
She starts the piece, I finish the piece.
Basically, you guys are just the two people that are nicest to me when I say, can I have this? But, yeah, so I do really honestly share pretty much everything with you. Like, I don't really talk about my utopia, but I'm into this. I really like the wilderness.
Right, yeah.
The warm temperature. Relationships, people, it'll happen. It'll not, like how it is now. The bands are there. Food. What food do you want to have around?
Everything has to come in, like, a burrito form.
Really?
Like a wrap kind of form.
Like a roti.
Roti, burrito, anything with that soft,
yeah,
delicious tortilla wrapping.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you put in. Like, if they had pizza that was in that.
Well, they do. Panzerotti's.
Oh, that, well, there you go. Yeah. So
ish. It's still like a dough. But
if it was the more simple wrap, man, I would eat everything. A salad, you know, I'd eat ice cream in that. Mm-hmm. There's something, it also just fits in your hand just right.
Yeah.
You know, and you can also throw it like a football if you're in need of a football.
Yeah. If you're running from a bear and you need to get your food to someone else.
Exactly. You need to pass it to somebody.
Are there, okay, you know what? Now that we think about that. Mm. Okay, so anyways, no, I'm getting distracted. But would there be bears there? That could attack your food?
As I said, all the animals would be, they'd be friendly critters.
Mm-hmm. Even the bears?
Bears, totally. Like, you would have a pet bear so easily.
Wow. I could do that.
Yeah, that would be, imagine having like a pet panda.
Would bears still eat like fish out of the river and stuff? Or
they might have rotis also. They'd probably prefer it.
Oh, my God. Salmon roti?
You would wrap it up in... Yeah. Like, they would probably catch the fish.
And then put
but
it
then,
in.
Yeah, but then you'd throw them a roti wrap thing, and then they'd be like, oh, yeah, I get it. It tastes better with the wrap on it.
And
then
they'd
go at it.
Sweet.
I think you could make everything better in life if you put a roti wrap or a, you know, a tortilla wrap around it.
Yeah.
Even wine.
Yeah.
You know, even like... propose, you know, engagement ring in a roti wrap.
So a lot of your utopian world is full of roti wraps.
Pretty much.
Does the rest of the village like this?
Oh my God. That might be it. Also, the bed itself would be a giant roti wrap.
Yeah.
You just curl up in it.
And it's warm.
Yeah. It's warmed up. It might even have a bit of the flavor, you know.
Do you eat your bed to get out of it in the morning?
You might have to.
Yeah, so when you make your bed, you literally have to make your bed in an oven.
You need to, yeah. I think that would be great.
I like that.
You eat your way out. That's fun. I enjoy that. I think that might be something to... And your pillow also, your pillow could be... Other parts of food are wrapped up in those, too.
Yeah.
So you could have your meal. Breakfast in bed. Your bed is breakfast. So...
I just, you know that old joke, like, oh, I had a dream that I was eating the biggest marshmallow, and when I woke up, my pillow was gone. In your utopia, it's like, oh, I had a dream that I was eating a marshmallow, and when I woke up, I ate my pillow, because my pillow is a roti.
That's right.
So it's not that crazy.
Exactly.
Are you going to have politics in this village?
No. I think everyone's just... Everyone there...
Very conservative.
Well, they're just... Everyone's just, like, chilled out and...
Yeah.
There's no point in... They're smart, chilled out people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
There's no need to break the law.
So your
no
definition
to,
of smart, chilled out people is what? Communists?
The most communist you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, like super communist. No,
well,
you are
in a commune, basically.
Exactly. No, it'd be a... I guess, you know, people who just understand there's a way, like, I don't know what I'm even saying right now. Just that idea that there's, you don't need to, especially if it's a small community, you don't need to create problems out of the blue. Like, you're not trying to achieve anything gigantic. You're just enjoying what life is. So there's no real need to. I guess you would need some sort of organization, though.
Do you think that's where it happens?
Yeah,
I guess there's the one person with the ego. They need to be the leader.
Exactly. And then, so that's what I'm getting at. If you somehow got the right people who just went, you know what? Let's just all just enjoy our rotis. Yeah. And our Radiohead songs and our warm snow. And you know what I mean? Like people just enjoying the moment without the, having
And they're not being passive aggressive either. They just understand. So they almost have like a Taoist understanding.
That's exactly
it. Or like a Buddhist understanding.
That's totally it. And I think that's where I've come from 20 years back when I started reading about some Taoism stuff and Buddhism. It just made sense to me, and I went, yeah, okay, you can, yeah, there's a different way of sort of living life or viewing life. Obviously, we're wrapped in a very different world.
Yeah.
But in a utopia, that would be beautiful.
Yeah.
Where people are just, everyone's just chilled out, and it's like, you do what you need to do, I'll do what I do.
Because they're so relaxed, they've got everything they want.
You respect people for whatever way they want to live and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think that would be the vibe. And with a small 50-person thing, I don't see there being huge number of issues, but, hey, there always will be. Look at Survivor, right?
I just pictured there's one guy in your 50-person commune in the mountain wilderness. That looks just like Jake Busey.
Yes. You're waiting for him to go off.
I'm not saying Jake Busey is a jerk.
Right.
An egotistical jerk. But he looks like he could, an egotistical jerk could look like him.
Sure. I just like the idea of a guy that looks like him and you just keep always thinking, any day now, that guy's going to go totally crazy.
You're about to blow.
Yeah. You just can tell. Some people have that look in their eye, like, yeah, he's one insult away from just going off.
Yeah.
So he's the wild card.
I think what I really like about communes in this real world that I've seen so far is to make it work.
Mm.
Most of the time, sometimes people need to be passive and allow and lie to themselves that they don't have a leader.
Right.
And then the leader is like, no, you don't have a leader. Talking from between his teeth. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, that is the truth is.
Yeah.
It seems
because inherently in human beings, there is that sort of competitive ego to survive.
I think in general, yes. Yeah. And to live like totally, you know, with a Buddhist mindset or Taoist, very tricky in the modern world in a busy city.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like it's,
we literally need to spend hundreds of dollars a day just to survive here basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or maybe we don't, but we feel like we do.
Yeah. It's a very, we've chosen to live in a city like this and it's great fun, but, it's a very different way of living. So yeah, to actually put it to practice would be very difficult in the way things are, but you can still in small ways, you can still do it. And that's where I always came from. I was like, oh, I can apply a little bit of this to the way I live life. And that whole thing of, one thing that always stuck to me was like, you know, live your life kind of like water. Like when there's a big problem in your life, you can, or, you know, if you see something in your path, you have a choice of going around it if you want to, or you can engage in it. It's up to you.
Like water always has a choice when it comes to a rock.
Exactly.
You never see water like stop at a rock. And
yeah.
Go,
so it's kind of flowing around, flowing with things, flowing around things. You know, choose your battles in life, and I definitely choose my battles, and you know, I have a very forgiving and flowing kind of life that way, because I try not to get caught up in little dramas, because I go, you know what, I'm trying to get over there and I don't want to stop to kind of have to deal with this that doesn't matter that much.
Well, you're a motivated person because you always have all these different goals.
Shh. sure.
Which I think is important. So maybe you have a point there that people get hung up on the small stuff when their life goals aren't as defined for them.
That could be part of it.
Motivated people. They don't know what they're doing with their lives. So they create these other problems to act like blockades.
To fill some time.
You know what your world right now, which I like, is it's basically like those ancient times where like the Taoist poets lived in the wilderness in the woods, except you just like transplanted it to BC.
Sure.
And then you have some surreal tinges to it, like
sure.
The warm snow and the bubbling hot springs
and
river.
the roti bed
and everything's in a roti and bears are nice and they eat cold salmon in a roti. How about this?
Yeah.
Aside from the bands, you're a big art guy. What kind of art and culture would you have there?
Oh, yeah.
Would you have the new AGO exhibit of Basquiat?
Old Basquiat. Yeah. That's how you say it, I think. What a great name.
Yeah.
Basquiat.
Both Kurt and I like Basquiat.
Big fans.
He's coming to Ontario's AGO this weekend.
Yeah, very excited about that. Yeah, art. Definitely there'd be art. I think in that environment though, you'd think, well, where would you hang it? I guess on the trees. But
put it in a roti.
Exactly.
You'd like open a roti and be like, oh, a de Kooning.
I think interactive sculptures are always fun. I like interactive art for sure.
Yeah, well, you did that piece for
the Nuit
Blanche. That was huge.
Literally
and figuratively.
It was. But yeah, anything that's... Yeah.
Look it up
online.
It doesn't sound like he's going
to
explain it, so just look it up online.
Do you want me to...
Okay, no, I'm just joking.
All right, go online, anyone who's listening, if you want to see this fun thing that I made with Elliot Melia, a friend of mine, and a talented team in Winnipeg, Pomo. They're projection artists. But yeah, we turned a TDC streetcar into a virtual ride. It's called Ride the Rocket.
It was like something you'd find at Universal Studios.
Yeah, so the audience...
TDC streetcar.
The audience gets on the streetcar that was parked in the middle of the road. We put screens on the windows, projectors around the streetcar, and then we made this movie that virtually... It made you feel like you were... zooming through Toronto streets and then into the lake and under the lake and on the island.
Yeah.
You get attacked by a giant raccoon. You go to space, all these things.
It was really cool.
It was good fun. But I love art.
I think that's neat that you like the big interactive art.
Well, I like art a lot. Well, not all of it, but I like art that has, where you can touch it or you can, I don't know, where it really engages the viewer directly. I think that's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also stuff with a sense of a little bit of entertainment and like something that you can get a reaction from. That's why I think like we're saying Basquiat, like there's a playfulness to what he does.
Because we were talking about this over the rotis.
Yeah.
Can you tell for posterity, put it down like, because I like your description, too.
Of why I like Basquiat?
And I actually didn't know that about him. What you explained is, like, how he was creating and using all the influences that were around him in that exact moment.
And that's one of the main things I love about his work. Because it's very... His work looks like to a lot of people, looks like a big mess on canvas. And he would have the TV on... the radio on, he'd have people visiting the studio, he'd spend however many hours on each piece, and as he was creating it, he would just, someone would say something, or something would be on the radio, or whatever, and he'd just write a few words down, or whatever, onto the canvas, and the work suddenly becomes this collage of influences that are happening around him in the moment. It's very jazz-like, it's very, like, improvisational art, without a lot of... It didn't need to have a ton of meaning to the viewer because he was like kind of putting, he's like, this is what was happening in his current moment,
mm-hmm.
putting it on the canvas. And so you end up with this like time capsule of like however long he took to make that. And there's a messiness to it. There's a there's also a beautiful aesthetic to it. It's very playful, very childlike. Yeah.
But the immediacy is timeless.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
so we'll go look at this exhibit now in 2015, and it was made in, like, 82 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll feel that immediacy now when we look at it.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Like, we could almost go to that, like, New York environment in our heads and hear
there's such an energy to his work in the, like, when you see the colors and the messiness of it and the, you know, what it is. And I think that's why I feed off it so well. Much like there's another favorite artist, Ralph Steadman.
Yeah.
He did all Hunter S. Thompson's books and much more. But the energy you see in his splattered ink aesthetic, like, it just excites me like crazy to look at his
work. Didn't he do a book where, like, because I know why you have to say and much more, because literally he had his own career, but he'll always be, like, referenced as the guy who did Hunter's books.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I think, didn't he do a whole book where he illustrated his classic Ralph Steadman style, like, to Sigmund Freud or something?
Yeah. He's done many separate books. He did a Sigmund Freud book. He did Alice in Wonderland. He did a book on wine.
Like the Freud one would be really cool.
I own it, actually.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. I'll lend it to you for sure.
You trade me that, and I'll give you the Arbuckle and Keaton DVDs.
Done.
Sweet.
We're big Keaton fans, kids.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Buster Keaton,
only
ever.
Kids listen to this. Kids, if you're listening, we love Buster Keaton, and get permission, written permission, to see if you can slay on his mouth.
Rest on my mouth.
Rest on my mouth. Just pull it. It's like a bench for the modern age.
I just lie down. My mouth gets really big. You can just sit in it for a bit.
Yeah. There's always an old newspaper on it.
There's warm snow in there all the time.
Warm snow in my mouth.
Warm Snow is like a band name, isn't it?
No, that maybe. There was a band called Warm Soda.
I like that you went from no, maybe so quick. And if you ended it with
like,
yes.
Because, really, like, how many bands do we not know about?
Maybe, yes. That would have been beautiful.
Yeah. How many bands do we not know? Well, there's Warm Soda. I do know that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're around anymore. I forget. But they were kind of fun.
All right.
Bubblegum pop garage rock from San Francisco.
That's the best genre.
Yeah.
That's a huge HMV section.
Yeah, I know.
Bubblegum. Yeah. The bubblegum section.
Well, I don't think HMV, first of all,
Does it exist even anymore?
The one on Yonge Street's closing down.
Are you sad that we're going to see the end of video stores and music shops? In the current state of, like,
I want to tell you something that I wonder how you feel about this.
All right.
Because, and I want to say this on my podcast so other people listening can tell me what they think about it when we bump into each other, if we ever do. Hi. But here's the thing. There's one video store near me that's still open that has some Criterion DVDs and stuff like that, which is crazy. Because most of them closed down, you know, however long ago. But so I've been going on this tear of seeing as many, like, weird Criterion vintage, like, films, like artsy films or whatever, just vintage films, that I have a weird feeling that we won't be able to find them.
Right.
Unless you buy them on Amazon special order for, like, an insane price. But Netflix is never going to have that.
That's true.
Like, all these other, you know, online, maybe you can find, like, gritty, gross versions on, like, a shitty YouTube ripoff thing. And then bookstores are gone now, too. And
Criterion will have to create their own channel.
But basically what I'm saying is, like, with bookstores being gone and, you know, Amazon ruling, Netflix ruling, all this stuff, if you want to find the real, like, couture stuff, is that almost going to be, like, weirdly eliminated? Or it's going to be, like you were just talking about throwing out books or whatever when you move. And I really want to do that, too.
But literally just throwing them out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of the moving van as it's rolling down the street.
At people.
Anyways, I guess you get my point. Like, it's almost like Fahrenheit... You know that book, the Ray Bradbury book?
I read it recently.
Fahrenheit 451, 451. Yeah. It's where he's
five,
like,
five, five.
He's like, I have books, and people are like, you're dead.
Exactly.
you.
I know what you're saying. We're extracting a part of our culture that we like, or like these artifacts almost that are. They exist, like, there is a lot of value in them, but we're kind of eliminating the availability of where the hell can you even get them anymore.
The like, only thing I can see, like, saving it is, like, Criterion designs, like, a channel like Netflix.
Yes.
Where you pay, like, obviously a hefty fee
mm-hmm.
per month, and you can choose your couture, artsy, or beautiful, whatever kind of movies. And then we'll just be paying like a hefty price, but that's not guaranteed.
Sure.
Like, we're probably just going to watch fucking, you know, I don't want to say names, but the comedies that we just don't even want to watch that are being pushed down our throat all the time.
Yeah, like, exactly.
All these crappy, or Marvel movies.
Here's,
you know?
Here's what I'm worried about.
Which is fine. They're cool too, but
there's so much content now to get through. There's just so much being produced every year. There's also more and more people being born every year. I'm worried, jump ahead 30 years from now,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be so much more music, movies, books, everything that you won't even, like, imagine being a kid born right now, a kid being born, not a baby, born and you're already five.
Yeah.
You now have to catch up with everything that we know. Plus all the new stuff that's being, you know, put out. And
but
there's no possible
don't.
Way to... Well, that's the thing is... So there's so much TV that I've never even seen. Like, the big stuff. I've not seen, you know... Breaking Bad, I haven't even watched.
My God.
That's the thing. So I'm like...
Well, I was hanging out with a few comedians.
I just finished the Mr. Belvedere series. That's how that's how far back I am. I'm still trying to get, I'm slowly catching up.
Must watch TV.
Yeah.
From 1983.
Yeah, I'm on the Friday TGIF thing now.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, I know. I just.
There's so much to take in. And if, you know, I have a busy life, so I don't have a lot of time to get through it all. And I just feel like it's only going to get worse. Like, there's only going to be more and more stuff that people don't have a chance to watch. Because there's just so much. And especially if we jump ahead 30 years with, you know, more humans on the planet, more production companies, more.
Well,
everything.
It's already like that now with our generation.
Exactly.
No, like, honestly, because let's look at it realistically. Everybody knows how influential, like, Faust is, say, by Goethe or whatever. How do you pronounce it, right?
Goethe.
The band Goethe.
Yeah.
No, but everybody knows how influential Faust is. And, like, but our generation doesn't all clamor to must read it. Nobody reads it.
That's true.
It's still the same thing. Listen, last night, and this isn't even culture from my generation, but last night hanging out with some comedians that were younger than me, I'm not joking, a bunch of them did like thought I made up that Woody Allen had a movie called Bananas.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't know Bananas. They didn't know Sleeper. They didn't know anything about his early 70s comedies.
Right.
And they're not only a few years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I was like, isn't it your obligation to fucking know those movies? Like, you know, right. As a comedian? But they're living their life. I don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, well, I just...
Because I'm not from the early 70s.
I think there's
just... But I still went back
too,
and, you know...
There's just too much. There's too much of everything.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way to...
Right and now, people don't get influenced by even full movies. They get influenced by clips on YouTube.
Right.
I grew up watching clips of this show.
Yes.
Like, that's what it's going to be like. They're like, I love Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Key and Peele's sketch show got me into comedy. Oh, really? What's your favorite? They're like, I've seen 3 sketches.
Exactly.
On YouTube.
Yeah, it's everything. Yeah, the internet has fractured. There's just too much. The internet is a portal into everything.
Hell.
Yeah. Mainly hell. Yeah.
I don't believe in hell or heaven, but it's the portal to hell.
Does hell have a website, actually?
Yeah, I'm sure hell.com is hell.com. Probably an awesome website.
I wonder if it's on there.
It's like the guys from Jackass just doing stunts.
Man, whoever has that website, that's a prime hell.com.
Hell.com.
And it's actually the portal to hell? That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, welcome. You clicked it.
That's right.
I have your soul. Yeah, must give me your soul to enter.
All the spam, whenever you delete your email spam, it goes to hell.com. It just extracts it to that. And you defriend someone on Facebook.
Yeah, if you go to hell online, you're stuck with all your spam emails for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Pile of spam. But yeah, man, everything's too much, which is why I'm going to retreat to the forests of BC. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing it back for me.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to wonder, like, how did we get off on this again? I know
I don't know.
We were talking about art and Bastriat,
yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. What art would I put in my utopia? And like I said,
an interactive thing.
I think, it'd be hard to, if you've got trees around. No, I guess we'd have walls in the little huts or whatnot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You have huts.
Just really, really fun art. I'm not into minimalist, you know, block of here's a red stripe and here's an orange stripe below it.
Really?
Just not excited about that.
So you don't like Rothko?
No.
I do.
Well, here's the thing. Aesthetically, sure, it's nice to look at.
Yeah.
I just don't get any thrill out of it. I could walk past that and I was like, might as well be an IKEA painting, you know, to me. Like like something you'd buy in a frame at IKEA, because it just seems very, sure, it'll look nice on a wall, but it doesn't. I kind of need, I need to actually get excited when I look at a piece of art for me to really dig it.
Rothko versus Basquiat. You choose Basquiat.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Basquiat. But what? But aside from him, who would you choose over Rothko as well? Just to give us another idea.
Mark Ryden.
You know really? I don't know.
He's, do you know the pop surrealism from, mainly California is where it started.
Yeah.
Pop surrealist movement, which is very cartoony and
yeah, like the Roy Lichtenstein?
No.
Oh,
this
pop
is more,
surrealist, sorry.
Yeah, this is more, what's a good example? It almost looks like it's from a bizarro fairy tale, has a bit of Tim Burton vibe,
here we go again.
It just has that cart. I mean, it's probably because I'm have an animation background.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, imagine a beautiful painting, but it's got these very cartoonish characters.
Tim Burton just made a movie of this guy.
Of Mark Ryden?
Didn't he?
No. Well, I know he made Big Eyes.
Oh, that's about another guy?
Yeah, that's...
It looks similar, though.
It's a similar world, yeah. But yeah, so
like that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Scroll down a bit more. See how crazy they get.
Yeah.
So Google Mark Ryden if you haven't, kids.
Wow, this looks like Katy
and Buster
Perry.
But yeah, it is Katy Perry.
It is.
Yeah. He did Christina Ricci. There's certain celebrities that he's very.
Yeah. This looks like the kind of art you do like.
I just like that weird. I just like, you know, it's exaggeration of reality is what I've always been after. That's even, you know, like if utopian world, the trees, you know, the forest I would be in would have an oddness to it. It would have the
like this
weird. There you go, like weirdly bent trees, and you know.
For those of you listening, I just showed him the painting by Mark Ryden called Yoshi. I believe that's called. Yoshi, yeah.
Based off the Super Mario character.
Is it?
I don't know.
Look at that thing. I don't think so.
No, it's not. But look, wouldn't that be a great animal to have, that thing?
I really think that's cool that now you're saying that the forest would be sort of like a...
Yeah, it would be...
Is demented a weird word?
It would be exaggerated.
Aesthetically demented.
Sure. It would be very colorful.
Exaggerated, okay.
It'd be very lush, colorful, and... yeah, it would have, you'd feel a little bit like you're in a cartoonish world.
I like that.
You know?
So, cool.
So I guess it isn't planet Earth we're talking about. This is like, I don't know what that is.
You've got one of the hippest utopian worlds I've heard so far. Let's summarize
it.
So it's like a sort of like exaggerated Mark Ryden-esque woods-like escape.
Sure.
50 people in a village getting together like Buddhist monks, Taoist monks.
Yeah.
Making roadies all the time. Bands come and play all the time. Bears are nice. There's interactive art everywhere. There's Basquiat's hanging in your village.
Sure.
This literally sounds like Brooklyn. it sounds like what they want Brooklyn to be like.
They're trying to make Brooklyn into that.
But doesn't it?
That's why I went to New York last week. I was talking to them. I showed them some plans. I was like, guys,
yeah,
here's some drawings. You're doing it all wrong.
Yeah, you know what the... Yeah. No, honestly, it sounds really nice and cool. And there's green tea, there's red wine, yeah. Right? Were we talking about on the podcast?
Out of the tap of...
Did we talk about those drinks on the podcast or not? No, maybe in the...
Probably not. Oh, the red wine we did, yeah.
Yeah, but you like green tea.
Green tea is delightful,
so
yeah.
So do I. Okay, I like it a lot. Is there... let's wrap it up, though. Is there anything you want to add just in the last thing about
my utopia?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. No, actually, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah,
it would. Yeah,
it's pretty nice.
It just makes me want. I think the roti is fully hitting me now, and I'm like,
are you zonked?
My whole brain is.
I can make some more green tea.
Well, perhaps we'll do that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything you want to promote before we go?
If you go to New York City right now, there's a musical off Broadway, called Nevermore that I got to do some artwork for and commercial stuff. And it's about Edgar Allan Poe. And it's good fun. It has a Tim Burton aesthetic to all the costumes. It's beautifully done. If you're in the NYC, check it out if you're into that sort of world.
Cool.
That's all I got.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's more. I might mention it later in the outro, but this has been very nice. Did you have fun?
It was the best.
Are your jeans dry?
They are still damp.
Just how you like them. All right, cool. Thanks so much for coming on, Kurt.
Thanks for having me, Christopher. High five.
Yeah. There's the actual, we recorded a high five.
Perfect.
Bye.
Okay, and that's a wrap on episode 23 of Utopia to Me with Kurt Furla, the amazing Kurt Furla. Kurt, if you're listening, thanks again for coming on. I had so much fun. I know you did too, because when we pressed stop, you said that was very fun. Hope you guys enjoyed listening out there. Follow Kurt if you want some updates, or sometimes he throws jokes out there on Twitter, at Kurt Furla. And look out for his work. And everybody go to if you're in Toronto, go to the AGO while Basquiat is still on, because I don't know, maybe we'll see you there, because we're going to be hip art dudes. And other than that, you guys are great. Thanks so much for listening. Follow at Utopia to Me on Twitter and say hello and spread the word. If you like this podcast, tell people about it. We're still young. We're still growing. And a lot of people are saying nice things. I say this a lot, but it's true. And I appreciate that. And follow me at Chris Locke Fun. I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast, but the actual podcast logo and my album, The World is Embarrassing, both covers were painted by my wife, Kathleen Phillips. But the wording on it, so you get a little sample here, is Kurt Furla. Did we say that in the podcast? I can't remember. This is the end. I'm wrapping it up 2 days later in my long johns. But so Kurt has had a hand on even Utopia to Me's logo. So there you go. Check out his styles. But yeah, follow me at Chris Locke Fun, at Utopia to Me, at Kurt Furla. And you guys get out there, just do anything you want. You know, go up to a mailman, for example, and be like, do you like doing this? God, it's so cold. Or wherever you are. You could be like, God, it's so hot. Do you like this? Do you like this, mailman? Do whatever you want. But enjoy the podcast. Keep coming back. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much, and have a good one.
Thank you.